Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm Matt Bubala here with you. Joining us on the phone is my good friend and Tribune colleague, Heidi Stevens. Hey, Heidi, how are you?
Hi, Matt. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for jumping on the phone with us. Here as we start to think about wrapping up 2021, there's a lot going on in the world, and you're always a good bellwether for how people are feeling, I think, especially people trying to raise kids and get through life here in Chicago. And so we appreciate that your columns continue in the Chicago Tribune. Your last one for 2021, you wrote about how we need to keep hope alive, despite where we started out the year and thinking things were going to get better and how we're ending the year and things don't seem to be getting that much better. What is the importance of hope in all of that?
You know, I don't think we try very hard to do our part in fixing things and making things better once we give up hope. I think that, you know, that there's a way of talking about hope and feeling hope that's kind of not that different from just putting on rose-colored glasses. But the way I think of it is really more of almost like a call to action. I think once you feel hopelessness set in and once you give in to hopelessness setting in, you sort of give up on trying to improve things for yourself and the people around you. And so that's why, you know, I remind myself a lot when I'm looking for, you know, folks to write about and stories lift up, and also just if I'm talking to the people I love, like here at home or my friends, that's why I always try to like return to hope even after, you know, a big long pity party, which I've had a few of lately.
Sure. And it's hard not to, right? I mean, Heidi, you and I are around the same age. You're younger than I am, but we've grown up kind of the same era, and this is unprecedented in our lives. We've had things like 9/11 that for a finite amount of time were very much affected us, but I can't remember a time in my life going through anything this dragged out, the last few years and what they've been like and how we're handling it. I can understand people that are like, yeah, it's really hard to see the glass half full right now.
It's really hard. And I feel especially for young people, anybody who doesn't have kind of the benefit of having lived through, like you said, 9/11 or other stuff that's not even happening on a national level, but just maybe the loss of a classmate or a parent or even a grandparent, something that's really, really hard when you're going through it. But then you can look back on it later and think, like, I got through that and it sucked, but I survived. For young people who don't have a bunch of those experiences, or maybe even they don't even have one of those experiences, you know, to draw on, like, okay, this sucks right now, but I've been through stuff that sucks right now, and I know that it does actually get better. It's hard to know that it does get better. And then you have, you know, the sheer fact of it actually not getting better, you know, a year and a half in,
tough.
Like, actually getting worse, right? I mean, I think we hit a record number of new COVID cases today in the United States. And of course, Illinois too.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that it's a hard one. It's a hard one to parent around.
It's interesting, Heidi, because we would normally say, hey, you know, we've been through things in life. It's going to get better. And right now your kids might look at you and say, well, how do you know that?
How do you know?
And for the first time you'll go, huh, that's a good point. For the first time in my life, I guess I don't truly know that. I have faith in it though, because I've always seen it get better before.
Yeah. I mean, I almost wonder if we're going through a kind of dramatic reframing of the way, like, adults and kids relate to one another. Like, I think there's always been this assumption for grown-ups and parents and authority figures that, you know, you have the answers, right? And kids sort of are raised to understand that the grown-ups, the elders, the authority figures have the answers. And I'm not sure that kids today feel that. I mean, you know, there's a lot of talk about like millennials, you know, not, you know, caring so much about what their bosses think, or, you know, not caring so much about holding down, you know, a specific career, or like, you know, not needing to impress authority figures the way like you and I did, or the couple generations before us always did. But I feel like that's playing out in all kinds of interesting ways. And I guess it's not really a good thing. I don't know that it's a bad thing either. I just think it's a different thing. Like, we don't, you know, we can't just keep pretending we have the answers to this stuff. We honestly don't. I have no idea when this ends. And really, nobody does.
Hold on one second, Heidi. We're speaking with Heidi Stevens. She's a columnist. You read her in the Chicago Tribune. And she has Heidi Stevens Balancing Act on Facebook, a great group to find everything that Heidi's writing about. On the phone with our friend Heidi Stevens from the Chicago Tribune and Heidi Stevens Balancing Act on Facebook. Heidi, I know that you've mentioned this on social media recently. You've got a couple of CPS students who are headed back to school next week, and it is recommended that you get them tested before they go back. That's not the easiest task right now, is it?
It's not the easiest task right now. you cannot find the Walgreens with an opening. I was trying to find them for my parents too. We actually had a positive COVID test in our family a couple days ago, and had just spent Christmas with my parents, who of course are, you know, in their 70s and a couple underlying conditions between them. And so I was trying to get them tested out near them, trying to get my kids tested here in the city. You just can't, you know, anybody who's listening probably can relate. You just can't get a spot at a Walgreens right now, which is what the CPS site sends you to. You know, they're kind of robocalling all of us and texting us every day saying, get your kids tested before we come back to school Monday. Here's a link to test sites. Well, test sites are all Walgreens. And then I don't know if you saw that Block Club story today that looked into the
there's these pop-up shops that aren't necessarily so good.
Yeah, exactly. People are like not getting their test back, or the testers aren't wearing PPE, or, you know, all kinds of problematic stuff. And so that, you know, that leaves you a little nervous too. If you can find at-home tests, that's great. And sorry, my oven's going off. Isn't it funny how pre-quarantine we would have like died if a beep happened in the background, and now we're like, sorry, there's a tornado, but I'll talk through it. Anyway, just the oven. If you can get at-home tests, great. And we had a few, which was how we, you know, discovered the positive test in my family the last couple of days. But I don't know. It's a big district, hundreds of thousands of families. I don't know that it's realistic to imagine, you know, all or even most families truly being able to test before Monday.
And it's not mandatory, right? They're just asking you to.
You know, just suggesting it.
Which I get.
And I do too. You know, this is the, as with you know me, you're used to talking to me. I don't really have like strong, you know, black and white binary opinions on things. I don't really have like a keep them home or a send them to school strong feeling. I just feel like, oof, are these really our options? Like, send them to school in the middle of a record-breaking surge? You know, at home didn't work either, but was there a safer way to do this? And did we fail to take the steps that we needed to? I gotta believe that's the case. I don't know. I mean, my kid who had it had a very mild case. I know that there are people who had that same experience who think, like, you know, really, we're shutting things down and keeping kids home from school for this. This isn't even as bad as strep. But it's a virus that acts very differently in different bodies. And I don't, it's hard for me to, justify sending my kids into buildings where they could potentially get an adult sick, and well, that adult could bring it home to a elderly mother who's going through chemo, or, you know, you just don't know people's various situations.
And that's what we have to keep in mind, and that's a tough thing, and I agree, you know, that I'm more than the first time through, I'm having family members or different people I know much more closely contracting the virus, but everybody I know personally is getting over it very easily right now. So you get this false sense of, oh, you know, it's not that bad, we shouldn't be doing all this, but you worry about the 2-3 people down the line that, because we're, didn't affect me that bad, but I spread it to so-and-so, who spread it to so-and-so, and finally got to somebody who it really was bad for. You don't want to be part of that chain. So it is, and it's funny you mentioned, you know, that school at home didn't work for a long time, right? There were a lot of studies and a lot of disgruntled kids and certainly parents. But I'll tell you what, I got 3 high schoolers who are not that upset about the idea of starting out a couple weeks back at home. They're missing getting up late, just rolling out of bed, jumping onto Zoom. For the older kids, I think it's like, you know, that didn't work out that bad.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, I feel like, you know, the smarter thing would have been to just plan on the first 2 weeks back from break being remote. You know, you've got people traveling. Yeah. You're certainly going to have people gathering for New Year's Eve. There's no way everybody's testing by Monday, or maybe they tested, you know, Friday, but then contracted it between Friday and Monday. Like, it just feels to me like the smart thing would have been to just say ahead of time, like a lot of colleges did, right? U of I, UIC, DePaul, a lot of them, University of Chicago, where I, you know, work full time now. Most of those places said going into winter break, before we saw the, like, you know, 60% increase in cases in a week span, said, you know, we're going to come back remote for the first few weeks. That makes sense to me. That's not schools are closed, we're switching over to remote indefinitely. That's just like a 2-week plan. I feel like that would have been a lot.
It does seem to make a lot of sense, because I think there's also just, especially as we're seeing, as we talked about, a lot of people with these cases right now aren't feeling too bad. So there's going to be a burnout. And a lot of people, if you're not feeling that bad, you know, right now, if you had a fever, would you would, because you're responsible and you're in a house that had COVID. But a lot of us might be like, eh, that's probably a cold, right? And you wouldn't necessarily go get tested because you're not feeling that bad. And so you're going to keep going to places. So if we just keep everybody home for 2 weeks so that we can keep going and not make it worse. It does seem like not a bad idea. But I understand everything the other way, too, because there's also the burnout of, oh, my God, we're shutting down again. We got to show our vax card to restaurants. Like, everything keeps piling on. And if we don't have the Heidi Stevens hope gene that we're going to keep that alive, it's hard to keep going.
It really is. No, it really is. And I don't know. I think that, you know, there's just sort of this magical thinking around schools that I'm not sure why or where it started. I mean, a lot of people were like, well, you know, medical workers are going to work, why shouldn't the teachers? Or, you know, you hear all the different things. It doesn't spread in schools, as if schools have like magic air that other buildings don't.
Because kids are always so cleanly and not near each other.
Right, exactly. Germs never spread in schools. But, you know, the big question I keep coming back to is, like, what are you going to do, or what do you want schools to do when teachers get sick? Like, you don't want teachers with COVID to come teach your kids, right? And there's already a sub shortage. So I just, the reflexive, like, you have to keep the schools open mindset, I don't understand how just logistically that's supposed to work, because teachers can't come to school sick. And if the positivity rate in Chicago right now is, what is it, like 17% or something? That's for people who've, you know, went ahead and got tested. You know, it's more than that.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people aren't getting tested. As you said, Heidi, there's nothing black and white in this, and we're just going to continue to trudge along. I got to get to news here in a second, but thank you so much for jumping on the phone. I hope everybody else stays healthy in the house and you get over it quickly. And we look forward to chatting with you and seeing what you're writing in 2022.
Thanks, Matt. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Heidi Stevens from your Chicago Tribune and Heidi Stevens Balancing Act on Facebook.